So today is the 16th June 2022, a Thursday. So today is our first Thursday physical class for the year. We are having it at relative since the past 3 months. You all have in front of you the yellow card. This one is our Bodhisattva vow format. For those who are taking the Bodhisattva vow, you can actually follow me after the silo can you to renew the Bodhisattva vow so that you understand what they are. Apart from your own daily practice or cultivation, which is part of your daily spiritual routine. So this one is to be done every morning if you can. And before you sleep, you also can have your meditation routine, chanting, sharing a mantra, and morning when you do your puja, you can end your puja and meditation by recalling all these Bodhisattva vows. I will do it maybe after the meditation that we will do the invocation to the devas too. So for the time being, maybe we can have our usual half an hour awareness space meditation. Just relax body and mind completely. Silent, everything inside. Silent means don't think, don't try to know, don't try to do it. And remember the four support or awareness space. First is to relax into every mind state that has arisen. Body and mind completely relax or at ease. Then after that, you maintain awareness. To maintain awareness is to develop the silent mind. Is allow the awareness to be there. Aware. Whatever arises, aware, finish, aware, finish. Don't follow, don't let the sankhara or thought activity proliferate or follow. This is how you train to be aware. Don't need to do anything. And after a while, if you have already built the skill, it will stabilize. And the third support is continue to develop this awareness until it becomes very stable. It's technically during your waking. As long as you are awake, maintain awareness. Then, of course, the last support is trust. Trust the nature to do the meditation. But most people may not do the trust until much later. When you have already developed sufficient skill and understanding of how to silence your mind and stabilize the awareness nature, then only the fourth support comes, which is trust. Trust here means trust your nature to do the meditative movement. No more directing it using your thought process or your mind. No more interference from your memory, your conditioning, your views, and your opinion. So this is basically what you need to recall and maybe commit to memory so that when you meditate, you know what you are doing for meditation. Here we are training ourselves to develop this awareness-based meditation, which is the awareness within. When we are aware, we don't think, we just aware. Whatever arises, aware. Thought arises, aware. Sensation, feeling, contact arise, aware. Even the consciousness when it arise, aware. Finish. Don't follow, don't don't allow the mundane mind to continue to proliferate, and create more thinking. At the moment you are thinking, you lost your awareness. You cannot maintain awareness. Your awareness nature is your true mind, your self. So what I normally advise you always, if you want to develop the awareness-based meditation, you should silent, completely silent. Then relax and maintain awareness for as long as you can. Just do that. Then the awareness nature will settle down. If you just allow it to be, do that, then this mundane mind, they will slowly slow down and settle down and let it return to its original state before the stirring, before the thinking, before the movement of the thought process arises. You must realize that, see them, then only you understand what that true mind's awareness nature is. So if you allow that mundane mind to slow down and return to its original state before the stirring, before the activity of mind, the movement, that is your true mind. Then you will realize that true mind. That true mind is also your silent mind, your meditative mind, your awareness nature. So with this, I will let you meditate on. So now we will proceed with the making of the Bodhisattva vow. We will follow this format which I have prepared for you all many years ago, about maybe 6 years ago. So this format I have summarized for you all what you need to develop as cultivation and understanding. This will help you develop the Bodhisattva vow and walk the path of the Bodhisattva in the most easiest and most convenient manner. You will be able to overcome all of your whatever coming obstruction, if there is any. Whether there is any coming obstruction from the Triple Jet or from all beings, knowingly or unknowingly, from the distant past until now. Yes, coming obstruction is a very serious obstruction that can obstruct a cultivator from having the causes and condition to receive the Dhamma to go this way. And when the coming obstruction is there, it can be very severe. It can cause a lot of coming, suffering, misery. And this coming obstruction will obstruct you from having the clarity to understand things and to see them. That's why it's very important that we develop as part of the Bodhisattva vow is understanding to break the coming obstruction and have this condemn there too. And apart from that, my nature also realized Bodhisattvas initially when they started the cultivation, it is not easy. Most of them take a long time is because there are certain things lacking and missing. So through my nature's experience, I have already included that, especially in the first section. The making of special aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way. These are all the right views, right understanding that you need to have. So that life after life, whether you choose to come or you have to come, you will have this Dhamma understanding, the three right views, so that you won't get lost then it will prevent deviation. It will keep you firmly on the path. This is for people who tend to get lost during the non-sasana. When there is no sasana, the Buddha's teaching, during that period, a lot of cultivators wouldn't understand the true Dhamma. And because of that, they get lost. Then after a long period, they have to wait till the sasana is back before they have the conditions to arise again, to have the causes and conditions to meet up with the Triple Jet. Especially the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Arahasangha. So all these are included. So now let's prepare ourselves, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfulness, a strong faith. We shall plant the seed of Bodhi after that. We now make special aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way. Let us pay respect to the gentles. Making of the special aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way. By the power of whatever blessings and wholesomeness that this nature of mind have cultivated from the distant past till now, may arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mind to have the following right views. Right Dhamma understanding, life after life, whenever it chooses to come, or it has to come in the form of a form of mind. First one is the right view with regards to the law of karma, karma. The second one is the right view regards to the law of dependent origination, or the family, citta niyama. And the last one is the right view with regards to the form of the truth, dhamma niyama. Then the second aspect is, apart from having those three right views, we must also understand the two aspects of the five aggregates of mind. To understand the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind clearly, we are the direct seeing. To realize that they are all conditioned arising entities, causal phenomena, hence impermanent, leading to suffering, not me, not self, and empty. That is so-called human being, the five aggregates of form and mind. It's just a commonly conditioned vertical and tools for us to come to this existential world, to develop the cultivation and experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. So use it with wisdom to arise the right thoughts, right speech, and right action, to be a blessing to all and not to be deluded by it. To constantly recite the following understanding, the Dhamma assigned meridian. To constantly recite with understanding the following Dhamma profoundly. Rupam anicca, rupam anatta, vedana anicca, vedana anatta, sankara anicca, sankara anatta, sanya anicca, sanya anatta, vijnana anicca, vijnana anatta, sabbe sankara anicca, sabbe sankara dukkham, sabbe dhamma anatta. And finally, the third condition is, having developed the above right view, its nature of mind vows always to keep the following three sets of pure precepts following the advice of all Samas of Buddha. And this reading in the episode of Red Bull. Having developed the right, this nature of mind vows to always keep the following three sets of pure precepts, following the advice of all Samas of Buddha. The first set of pure precepts is to avoid all evil and to understand clearly what constitutes evil. The three evils of greed, hatred, and delusions are evil. The second set of pure precepts is to cultivate all virtues and blessings leading to the perfection of them all. And finally, the third set of pure precepts is to cultivate all wisdom to help liberate and take across all sentient beings. Okay, now we prepare ourselves to take the four basic vows. Taking of the four basic vows. Just as all previous suttas, the Buddha generated the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplished all the stages of the Bodhisattva training. So too will this nature of mind, for the sake of all living beings, generate the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplish all the stages of the Bodhisattva training, so that the seed of Bodhi can be strongly planted within my nature. This nature of mind further vow with utmost sincerity, faith, and perseverance to walk to perfection this Bodhisattva way. We are taking the following initial four basic vow of a Bodhisattva. This nature of mind vow to liberate the countless living beings from samsara and take them all across to the other shore. This nature of mind vows to endure or severe all suffering and dissension. This nature of mind vows to cultivate and penetrate all Dhamma, to realize the perfection of all wisdom. This nature of mind vows to perfect the 10 paramitas of perfection, to realize the unsurpassed Samasambuddha Buddha. Okay, now we turn to page 3. Page 3 is to make additional Bhava, to break all coming obstruction, to bring about the way, like I explained just now. If by action, speech, or thought, whether knowingly or unknowingly, we are ignorant, delusion, and heedlessness, then this nature of mind had offended or done anything wrong out to the Tripitaka, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. This nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. Whomsoever from the distant past till now, whether knowing me or unknowing me, that this nature of mind can cause any karmic negativity, misery, suffering, or misdeed. This nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness for them all. May my sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all, so that all these coming obstructions can be amicably dissolved and watered down or lessened, thereby enabling this nature of mind to continue with its cultivation to realize the true Dhamma in peace. This nature of mind also vowed to repent, and from now onwards, vow never to repeat any of these coming negativities, born of greed, hatred, and delusion. By following the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, do good, and purify our mind, we are striving on with faithfulness to keep the five precepts and cultivate the Buddha Dhamma diligently, so that he will never violate this law of karma again whenever it arises. Then finally, by the power of whatever wholesomeness or merits that this nature of mind had cultivated since the distant past until now, may arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mind to have the ability to overcome all other coming obstructions or obstacles immediately, so that this nature of mind will be able to gain back its life
line after line,
to walk the path of Dhamma,
to fulfill
and realize all its bodhisattvas. And finally, page 4 is the additional vow. Additional miscellaneous vow to enhance the cultivation. This nature of mind vow to be successful in fulfilling all my above vows soon as possible. This nature of mind vow to cultivate strong affinity with all Buddhas and bodhisattvas, and to request their nature's blessing, protection, and guidance always. This nature of my vow to strengthen my five spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, until they become balas of powers, line after line, so that all the above vows can be successfully fulfilled. This nature of my vow to cultivate extensively all virtues, blessings, and merits, to help support my cultivation, so that they may shine forth to aid this nature of mind when needed in time of trials, difficulties, and privileges while walking the Bodhisattva way. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Hopefully, with this acting as a fresh beginning and reminder, you will consistently go through this Bodhisattva vow until it becomes part of your nature, until you can finally recite the whole thing without even having to look at the yaraka. And initially, maybe not so fast. Some may take a few weeks, some may take a few months, if you can. So, uses if they determine strongly and just do it. And when you have the faith, the sadhana, the vidya, the sincerity, the perseverance, everything will come to be even and whole. And all this will become a part of you. And you will know what this thing is. Yeah, the reason why I want you to cultivate this for at least 3 to 6 months, and after that, once it has stabilized, maybe you can reduce it to once a week or once a month. And later on, depending on your understanding, it is going to transform you tremendously. The moment you start taking this Bodhisattva vow, a lot of things will happen to you and your cultivation, and then your virtue, your coming obstruction, everything, it was fast to learn. Slowly, slowly, either written out or become resolved, and most of them are dissolved to understanding. That's why everything dissolved them. So all this understanding, they are very useful. Okay, let us reach out. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So hopefully this first physical class will give you the necessary faith and impetus to continue with the cultivation, because my Nigerians, some cultivators, they need the faith. And to develop the faith, the physical class really helps. So what I have suggested earlier on this, the Thursday class is actually quite unique one. We will revert back to the old format because it is not a Zoom class. This is a class I had to maybe follow some facts or sutra when we need to go through. So normally Thursday class is a very sharing meals. We will normally have the usual puja, physical puja, followed by chanting. Then after that, our awareness based meditation. Then we want the second session straight away. Meditation reporting followed by whatever question one might have. The question can be based on the meditation or whatever Dhamma topic that you may want to understand. Then that one can give rise to very different conditions for different type of understanding of the Dhamma to arise, to flow. Then sometimes it can also be Dhamma in daily life, your daily experience, activity. It can be your career, your marriage life, your relationship with people, or your own health problem, or whatever other problems. It can be health problem, social problem, or going through all age, sickness and death related to the first number two realities. These are the important topics that one needs to develop and understand. Because without going through the four number two when it's treated, you cannot understand knowledge. Basically, as a Buddhist, for us to understand this teaching, we will have to understand the essence of the Buddha's teaching. The essence of the Buddha's teaching, that I always mention, is the Four Noble Truths, right? So this is the essence of the Buddha's teaching, namely the Four Noble Truths. These Four Noble Truths, they are very unique truths. They are not what normal people think. Normal people may think these are maybe special truth or unique truth or universal truth or what. No, the Buddha made it noble. Yes, during the time of the Buddha, the noble ones are the enlightened ones. They are these enlightened beings. They are very noble in all aspects of life. That's why they are called noble ones. So these four noble truths, you understand that you can become noble ones or enlightened beings. So this enlightenment is not just ordinary experience of mind state. It is a very profound awakening or realization. Because the moment you understand this four noble truths, of course, the Buddha later on mentioned it. Last is three turning. In the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, it stated, even he himself, as the Buddha to be at that time, he has to understand this Four Noble Truths and its three turning before he can proclaim the Dhamma to be the fully enlightened one. So this uniqueness of enlightenment is not just ordinary experience of meditative state or fantastic blissful state or whatever, but instead it leads to the realization of a very profound understanding of life, like the whole secret of life, mundane and supramundane, has been understood. And when you have understood life, you will know how to live life. Then this realization will lead to the wisdom, which will prevent you from becoming deluded, thereby conditioning your suffering and misery, which means as an enlightened, you will be free from all suffering. You will not suffer anymore. No matter what happened to you, to your physical body, to the world, to society, to your loved ones, your possession or whatever, it is not going to affect you anymore. When you have realized the truth, the reality of life and existence has been understood, and the secret of life has been understood, and how the existential world comes to be, they are governed by nature's law. This universal nature's law, or what they call universal order, the Buddha called it the Pancha-niyama means the five universal order that governs all of life and existence within nature, within existence. And this five, the first two are scientific law, the physical law of nature, or they call it the Uddu-niyama. The second one is called Vijaya-niyama, or the biological order of nature. So the first two, Uddu-niyama and Vijaya-niyama, they are scientific law. That's why the scientists, after they have realized these two laws, they progress very far. But these are more of scientific law to improve our life, to let us understand technical things, scientific things, genetic things, biological things, so that it can enhance humanity's life. But instead, due to the evils and the delusion, some of them abuse that knowledge. That's why they go and build nuclear weapons, armament. They go and create drugs and other things. So it lead to a lot of abuses. That's why nature's law, they are by itself beautiful, wonderful. But the user is very modern. The person who applies those laws, if you apply it with a wrong motive, with selfishness, with delusion, and evil into negativity. That's how the law of karma comes about. That's how humanity has to go through all this karma thing. And that's how pollution comes to be. That's how society deteriorates, environment deteriorates, human behavior also deteriorate. But if you understand it and apply it in the right direction appropriately, then it transforms into something very wholesome, very beautiful and very meaningful. Then it like become a blessing for all of humanity. The world will be beautiful. Environment, society, everything will be beautiful. There will be a lot of harmony, a lot of understanding. And all the negativity of war, environmental destruction, problematic weather and all those things, they will more or less subside and it does not arise anymore. So this one maybe scientific law. But what we are more interested in is the other three types of spiritual law, like what we took under the Bodhisattva law. The first spiritual law, this is the third universal order, is Karma Niyama, the law of karma. And this law is very powerful. The Buddha said, all living beings, not only human, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma. Condition is supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So if you understand this law, you will understand a very important aspect of life, the law of karma. And then you understand that your life entirely depends on karma because we are born of it. And we condition and support the body, and we are what we are because of this law of karma. So what we must understand and do is we must take care of karma. Otherwise, our life is gone. If you become heedless and do not develop the right view and the right understanding of this law and neglect karma, then it will lead to karmic negativity, which has its consequence. Then the Buddha said, you will reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evil begets evil. As you plant the seed of evil, you harm people, cheat people, deceive people, abuse people, and kill people, or misappropriate whatever thing that commits sexual misconduct, and develop the bad habit of having a take intoxicant drugs every day. All this can lead to coming down. Yeah, these are the precepts that you need to keep. If you don't keep them, it constitutes major evil that it will lead to evil coming consequence. So when you are heedless, you don't understand this law, then you lead a life that is not in accordance with this law of karma. Please, you don't take care of karma. You do not believe this law and you do what you like. Then what happens is, like the Buddha said, if you plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. Please, whatever you do unto others, you will become the victim. Others will do what to you. Like if you harm people, cheat people, deceive people, lay people out, then you cause suffering and misery to fellow living things. When you are in the position of authority, when you have the means to abuse people, take advantage of people, then all this in future, people will abuse you, take advantage of you, kill you, harm you, cheat you, deceive you. That's why whatever you do, this law is very powerful. You reap what you sow. Do good because good. Do evil because evil. And through this law, the first spiritual law, the advice of the Buddha comes about. Because the question is, how do we take care of karma? To take care of karma, we need to avoid all evil. We need to cultivate wholesomeness and goodness so that we have the ability to avoid all evil karma. So that we plant the seed of wholesomeness, reap all the virtuous good karma, which will enable us to have a good life. That's how you start. So the first two advice of the Buddha is to avoid all evil. To do it, we have to keep the precepts. When the precepts constitute major evil, you violate them. Then after that, we cultivate noble eightfold path practice to cultivate wholesomeness, blessings, and whatever good virtue and karma, wholesomeness. So this one, we really need to cultivate right view, which is right view with regards to this law of karma, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood. Then the fall of right happen. Then of course to support, you need mindfulness, you need samadhi. So this noble eightfold path factor will fall into place. Yeah. So when you cultivate noble eightfold path factor, the first six power factors will help you to cultivate wholesomeness, goodness. The last two, right mindfulness and samadhi, will lead to the meditation, purification of mind. That's why the third advice of the Buddha is to purify your mind. So if you follow the advice of the Buddha, you will live the life following the Dhamma way, which is the wisdom way. And your mind will fall into place. You will develop the good life. You will not have problems in life. So this is what the Buddhists should understand. And that one is just the first aspect of the first spiritual law. Law of karma, karma niyama. The second one is even more powerful. The Buddha said the second spiritual law is law of mind. Citta niyama. Chitta is mind, the mundane mind, the consciousness part, and its content. So citta niyama means the law of mind, how your mind functions as a human being. So when you understand this law, you understand yourself, you understand self-knowledge, leading to the realization of who you are, what you are. Then you will come to realize, like what the Buddha had realized, that these five areas of the mind, two aspects, they are not you. They are dependent originating condition arising causal phenomena. They are just your karmically conditioned forming mind for you to come to this existential world, to experience karma, to live life, to cultivate, and to do what you need to do. That's it. So use it with wisdom. Do not be deluded by it. Do not attach and do not cling to this fire of forming mind. So that is the teaching. So when you understand that spiritual law, your mind becomes very different. Then you will understand clearly how you stir your mind, how you develop heedfulness, how you develop heedlessness, how when you develop heedlessness, you fall. How when you determine to have faith, to cultivate and develop heedfulness, then you become different. You rise and become beautiful. Then you can see clearly how you are being conditioned into negativity, into emotion, moods and honesty. Sometimes you develop fear, intense fear, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, phobia, insecurity. All this, how did they arise? Then when they arrive, are they really you? Why do you deludedly think and believe that anger was you, fear was you, hatred was you, misery was you, suffering was you? So all this are in the teaching. When you understand the law of mind, you understand all this. Then you become beautiful. That's how you understand the secret of life. Not only nature, you understand yourself, self-knowledge. And lastly is Dhamma Niyama, the spiritual right view, is all the other truth. Dhamma means truth. Dhamma is the teaching of the Buddha. What he teaches are the truth. And the essence of his teaching are noble truths, the four noble truths. But there are other truths, which are the essential truths that the Buddha has taught us, like the five aggregates of forming mind, the five spiritual faculty, the five mental interests, and the three errors of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then the paticca samuppada, the 12 others, the seven factors of the noble eightfold path. All these are the essential. These are the nature's truth. Everything that can explain the way things are is the truth. That's why when you have that third right view, you understand the secret of life, you understand all the nature's law, especially a spiritual law, a governs life and existence. So this is why, as a Buddhist, we are very, very blessed. And we should have our great respect and gratitude towards the Buddha for giving us this teaching. And this is the only teaching in the world where it's given free. No string attached. And this is the greatest gift to mankind, to humanity, to living beings. Without this teaching, suffering will be there. But once this teaching has been revealed and made known to the world, possibility of awakening, you know, that's why as Buddhists, we are truly blessed with such great Samasambuddha as our teacher. Yeah, he is not only anointed, he is fully anointed, perfect in wisdom and virtue. He has cultivated over eons and eons and eons of lifetime to develop such understanding and arise as a Samana Sambuddha to deliver this teaching and form the sasana. So we ask you within the sasana, that's why this teaching is still very beautiful. So hopefully, with this first physical class, after sharing this, it will remind you of the importance of cultivating this teaching, the Buddha Dhamma. It's not because this teaching can make you wealthy or rich or famous. No. It is because this teaching is the most important teaching or understanding that you need to understand. You know, without this teaching, there is no knowledge. You cannot understand. You can be very successful in life, very wealthy, theoretically. But do you understand knowledge? Do you really can have the ability to be happy in life? Are you really complete as a human being? Whatever happened in life, can you really tell yourself you are peaceful, you are happy, you have understanding, and there is joy, and you can be a blessing to all? Without the Dhamma, you can't. You will worry about the reality of life, especially the first number two reality. Even to go through always sickness and death is not easy. What about separation from your loved ones? From prized possession that you want to deal with? From your loved one? From all those things that you believe you own? It belongs to you. Like your car, your property, your wealth, your possession, your loved ones. Are they really yours? They're your own physical body. If you don't have the understanding, as you go to old age, sickness, and death, you will worry about it, getting sick, getting old, and die one day. This reality of birth, old age, sickness, and death is not easy to confront if you don't have the memory. Especially those people who have gone through life. After the age of 60, you start to see a lot of these things. The true reality of getting old, aging, decaying, confronting sickness and disease, then confronting death. These are not easy unless you have them. So hopefully with this sharing, you can appreciate what this teaching is all about. And you can make affirmation and determination to go on to realize this teaching. After realizing this teaching, then you can make clear-cut decision to go this Bodhisattva way, because through cultivating the Bodhisattva way, you intensify your understanding of life, existence, cultivation. You can go through the whole of existence with this Dhamma understanding behind to actually protect you and allow you to have the causes and conditions to continuously come as a Bodhisattva to fulfill your perfection to become Samana Sambuddha. And this is something not everybody can have the condition or opportunity to have. You must have the parami, the affinity, the triple gem, especially the Sena Samasambuddha. Otherwise, you may end up as sainthood. Realize the sainthood way and also free from all suffering. No need to come back, no need to if that is your choice. Then, well and good, we rejoice too. But if you want to understand more, if you want to really go through all this, then the Bodhisattva way is very, very profound, rewarding. It's not only rewarding, it's also very wonderful. That's why it's mentioned in the Heart Sutra, when you have penetrated or realized true emptiness, then life becomes wonderful, existence becomes wonderful, certain called reality. Realizing true emptiness is wonderful existence. Then life take a turn, becomes so beautiful, so beautiful, so wonderful. Then everything you come across in life is really, really amazingly wonderful. In the sense that whatever you come to experience as you walk this path, the Bodhisattva way, you will come to learn a lot of them. There is a lot of variation to understanding. The cultivation of the understanding, wisdom power, is like unending. Because when we come as Bodhisattva, we go through the great aeons. And over these great aeons, you have very, very, very time of civilization appearing, coming and going, coming and going. Then you also have a lot of opportunity to come into contact with the various type of living, not only human being. Human being itself is already enough. There are so many variations of them. Like I would say, everyone is different, comically. We are all so different. Our condition, our nature, our parts, they are all so different. And how you all come together because of affinity to understand the interdependent, interpenetration, dependent origin, this law is very powerful. So these are the important aspects of the teaching that my nature wants to share with you today. It's still earlier, 9:48. Let's rejoice. Okay, now I open up. You all can report your meditation or ask whatever question you may have.
Good evening. It's been quite some time.
Almost 2+ years.
In these 2 years, usually we'll stay at home. Yeah. And my husband was scared of going out. So I'm very busy,
Cooking, doing your duty as a mother, as a wife, as a spouse. Very good, Sadhguru.
Then, but I really still keep in touch with the Dharma constantly, listen to Dharma talk and all.
For
your recording.
Also,
do my duty, reading also.
Very good.
And then I find that my life turning better and better.
Oh, sadhu, that is the most important.
Yes, because even though sometimes when you pick up anything that is still unhappy, then you realize that, we are not having the right view.
You like the right view and the right.
They suddenly realize that then we just change our attitude. Understand what we've learned from
Apply that teaching.
Yes. Then immediately the mind comes down.
Really, once the understanding sets in, you can accept whatever happened. That is the right view that allow you to develop the ability to accept the reality, the moment. Because like I always say, each and every one of us, we hold a key to our own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy is our choice. True or not? So don't tell me you don't love yourself and you don't know how to choose to be happy. You choose to be miserable. No. In this world, there will be nobody who is so foolish and so deluded. But then the question is, how come there are so many people suffering and going through life with such misery and unhappiness? Why? It's because they don't know this teaching. And it's because they don't know this teaching. They don't know that they have a choice. They don't know that they hold the key to their own life destiny. So to be happy or to be unhappy is entirely our choice. Why can't we choose to be happy? We choose to be happy, we will be happy, true or not, provided we know this teaching. This teaching is very simple. The law of karma already explained everything. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 also explain everything. So like I said, the Buddha explained life very clearly. That's why the first two twin verse of the Dhammapada, he already said, our mind is the forerunner of all things, my issue. When mind arises, all things arise. So if you choose to take care of mind, then you will be heedful to arise the wholesome thoughts, which are free of the evils of greed, hatred, and delusion. If you do that, happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. That is Dhammapada verse 2. But Dhammapada verse 1 is to warn those people who don't know this teaching, who are foolish, who are deluded. He said the same thing. He said, our mind is very important. Mind is the foreigner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. So if you explain and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then suffering will follow you. Like a wheel that follows the hoof of the Buloka. So this is very clear. Dhammapada verse 1 explain how suffering comes to be. That you are heedless when you do not train your mind to be heedful. You allow your mind to simply do things. Whereas you act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the inroads of greed, hatred, and delusion. This greed here means you have selfishness, you have possessiveness, you have greediness. So when you do that, you will give rise to a lot of coming negativity. Because greed comes from sakality, self-delusion, the personality that grabs onto the ego, believing that you exist. Then when you believe you exist, the egoic mind will become selfish, greedy, possessive. That's why you will try to own things, possess things, cling onto things, hold onto things. Then after that, because you think you exist, when you are unhappy, when things don't go your way, you become violent, you become angry, you develop envy and jealousy. This is the hatred aspect of the ego. Then the third one is delusion, ignorance. When you don't understand what is going on, then you cannot understand life. You become miserable. You suffer. You develop fear, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. These are all born of the evil root of delusion. That's why when you act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, you become evil. That's how you're coming down for. Then this will condition suffering in you. So if you have this understanding, this teaching, then it's very easy to choose, isn't it? I choose to be happy. Happiness will follow you like the shadow that never. How wonderful. So how to do that? We must develop the training to be heedful, to take care of mind, to be mindful of what constitutes evil, so that they do not arise in our mind state. So that we will constantly act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Like Krishnamurti always says, the absence of evil is good. The Buddha also says the same thing. If you can avoid all evil, you are naturally good. True or not? He didn't say avoid evil. Avoid evil only may not be good. When you can avoid all evil, when you are incapable of evil, that is automatically good. That's why all these great beings or teachers, they teach the same thing. The absence of evil is good. Always remember that. Don't be deceived by your thought. Because a lot of people, they believe they are doing good. But good according to whom? According to them. And that is your personal views or opinion of what is good. Good and bad is not an opinion. Not good according to you or me. Good is an ultimate reality. When you develop something that is free of negativity, then automatically it's good. It must be in accordance with the nature's law of karma, not according to your views, opinion, and belief system. That one has no meaning. So you need to cultivate. When the evils are not there, the absence of evil is good. That's why I want you all evil. Do good. That is the teaching. So if you can speak on to that understanding and cultivate accordingly, your life will be beautiful. And so what you have come to understand is very good. Yeah? Subject to you.
Yes. So for example, I do checking my mind.
Yeah.
Checking my
correct.
My mind's wholesome.
Yeah. Like I always advise, whenever you are not peaceful, not happy, the evils are there. The wrong view are there. You are not holding on to right view, right understanding. Otherwise, you will always be happy, peaceful. When you are mindful and aware, the wisdom will arise. When you are heedless and deluded, coming negativity will follow. That's why the Dhamma, if you understand, is very simple, very clear, very straightforward. And no need to force yourself through all those things. If you don't have basic understanding of the essential Dhamma, you can sit for umpteen years doing all the thought-based meditation. It's not going to change you. Your thoughts are still very active, very heedless. You lack mindfulness. You lack awareness. You lack the ability to observe, to insight in the phenomenon, to awaken to the universal consciousness. That's why people who don't understand the cultivation, they cannot progress. They entangle themselves with all the so-called thought-based meditation, the mental attack, or the what they call the thought-based mental technique and conditions. Whenever your mind is empty, you are lost in thought. Man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are completely silent and just aware of everything that is happening within and without. That is meditation. With silent awareness. Then only you can see and understand what is going on. Otherwise, if you are lost in thought as well, you are thinking, preoccupied with your thought process, then how can you be aware? How can you be mindful of what is going on? When your thought is actively telling you a story, chattering, dialogue is complaining, worrying, planning, scheming, daydreaming. That is a heedless mind. That is not a peaceful mind. Always remember that. And the Buddha said under the Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are as if they, spiritually, you don't stand a chance. And heedfulness is the path to the deathless, the heedful Buddha. So the first thing you must do in meditation or cultivation is to develop mindfulness, leading to heedfulness. That's why awareness-based meditation, mindfulness-based meditation. Not to go and create concept, idea, thought process. And the Buddha already mentioned, right, under the salutation to the Dhamma, this Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us, which is the teaching, they have certain characteristics which are very important. You must know them. That's why under our chanting, just now, the salutation to the Dhamma, the Buddha says, Swagato Bhagavata Dhamma. This Dhamma is well expounded by the Buddha. Then the Buddha go on to explain what is this Dhamma. He said, Swagato Bhagavata Dhamma. Then he said, this Dhamma is sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko, opanariko, bhajetam, veditapo, vinohiti. You must understand this. What is sanditiko? Sanditiko means this Dhamma, this truth can be realized in the here and the now. No need to wait till then. If people has a religion and promise you liberation after that, forget about it. Because the Buddha says this Dhamma can be realized before you die. Can be realized in the here and the now, before this form and mind separate. So that is sanditiko. Then this Dhamma is akaliko. Akaliko means what? Timeless. Beyond thought, beyond time. When we create thinking, it's psychological time. When we do not think, that is the timeless. No psychological. That's why it's akaliko. Beyond thought, beyond time. So, sanditiko, akaliko, then this Dhamma is ehipasiko. He said you can come and investigate into his teaching. When you investigate into his teaching, he will stand up to investigation. Why? Because he is the truth, the noble truth. The truth explains the way things are. Always correct. Cannot go wrong. That's why this teaching stand up to investigation. Then after that, sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko, is it opanayiko? This teaching is inward into our nature.
If you go and cultivate and go and play with energy, feel thought-based thing and see all the vision, does it lead inward into your nature? It doesn't. It creates all the what they call maybe fantastic meditative state, the energy field, the peace, the tranquility, but it doesn't lead inward. That's why open eye goal is leading inward. Then these teachings, always remember, can only be realized by the ones each for themselves. That's why Pa Che Tang created the book. If you cultivate and check against this Dhamma, the characteristic of this Dhamma, then you will know whether you are on the right path or the wrong path, whether you have been cultivating the right thing or the wrong thing. So all this are very, very important and very, very important for one to check against the cultivation to see whether you have been cultivating correctly or not. Because when you develop all the thought-based meditation, how can you realize something that is beyond thought? How can you? You can't. But the instrument you use is thought. And this has been taught everywhere. Almost everybody in Asia. You go anywhere. They teach you meditation, Dhamma cultivation. They always start with a thought. They give you a method and a technique. How did it come about? Through your thought. The thought learn the method and the technique. They interpret it. There's a series of instructions to do all these things. Then who is doing? The thought is actively doing. The thought inside there is like the meditator actively meditating. When you meditate, what you do? They tell you to know. Know this, know that. Focus, concentrate. Who is doing all this? The thought. And when thought is active, how can you be mindful? How can you be aware? How can you realize your true, your inner self-awareness nature? You can't. That's why all this is doomed to fail. Thought-based meditation can never lead you to the true Dhamma, which is akaliko and sanditiko. So all this understanding, you really start reflecting to it, contemplating to it, it becomes very clear. Then you don't have to waste your time. You save a lot of what they call yellow or blue. And you don't need to go Holland so often. Every day you can be in your own mandala. Cultivation ground. Otherwise, you become gallery.
Thank you so much for
listening. No problem.
I feel very blessed.
Yeah.
Able to learn the Dhamma.
Yeah.
Whatever in life or everything, I come across any difficulties automatically.
Yeah.
My learning, what I'm learning.
Correct.
Lead me to
your inquiry helped you. But what I did just now was to explain all this to you so that it become clearer. So that any ordinary human being who listen to this sharing will come to understand, it's so logical, so easy to understand. What am I doing? What am I waiting for? Why am I still heedless? Why am I still allowing my life to become so miserable? So all this can lead to profound understanding. Then your life, you decide how you want to live, then you will determine from now onward never turn back, never to go back to the old. That's why in the year 1971, the moment I saw the fundamental truth, I never searched for any other truth. I knew that is the one. I just follow it. I just want to realize that awakening. And I know I'm whole. That's why I go all out to cultivate. And other things is not important. Even after that, when I finish my form 5, form 6, and I go to you. I know the education is useful, important, but secondary compared to this double understanding. That's why I was actually cultivating. I went to the temple. I listened to the Dhamma talk. I attended the whatever activity. Then the weekly session, I'm going to listen to the Sunday class, the Friday, last night Brickfield, Friday night you got Dhamma talk, and Sunday also got Dhamma talk. And they have the, you know, what they call Sunday school, you know, Sunday activity. And in between, they invite people. And sometimes, they organize certain Buddhist spiritual trip. And they call it the weekend 8% retreat, 3 day to night. Then sometimes school holiday. So this are the activity that the temple do conduct. But I realized most of them are all topics. But luckily my path was very different. That's why I went in, I cannot be influenced. I just do what my nature understands. And I just know how to develop the anapanasati and the meditation on my own. And later on everything on the way, then I connect and recall the path. That's why after that I teach differently. You will come to realize what I teach, not even written anywhere. Although you may think that the essential Dhamma is all connected, because I can connect them all up and explain to you through my own realization and understanding. But the other people, what they share is theoretical, mainly theoretical knowledge base. And they are like isolated pocket of Dhamma here, not connected at all. Like everything is a separate teaching. Actually, the five mental human and the spiritual faculties are connected. The right view are connected to the essential Dhamma. Everything is linked. But the understanding is no longer there. Actually, the Paticca Samuppada, without mindfulness, you cannot understand. See how it happened. It is spontaneous, moment to moment. Not what is explained in most of the book. Over the 3 period of time, it's not like that. So all these are beautiful. Right? So thank you so much for this sharing that. So at least we know, despite the 2+ year of pandemic SOP requirement and your husband's condition, they require you to cook and stay at home. But you have been doing well. Because of your understanding. Then he also has a good life. So my nature rejoins us, seeing you and your daughter. Having the faith and what they call the virya, sadha and the virya, to really produce it. So for now, you don't have to worry about them like last time. The sketchy, the renounce, become money, all these things. So no more. Now she is even more beautiful. She learned the true Dhamma as a lay person and now married. Yeah. And understand life and develop the harmony, which is very beautiful. Sadhu rejoice.
Thank you. A few weeks ago, I followed a friend to a temple in Sungai Belek, somewhere about Sepang. Also, my first visit there is Mientian, Myanmar tradition.
Oh.
So they are doing the, we call it, is it installation of the rupang? Under open shape.
Consecration.
Sorry. So, My friend told me they had the exhibition there, so we went over and see, and I also never correlate that actually they are displaying all those things, that jewels and the rupa and the bodhi leaf that they're going to put, because we partake in Anandagiri before, so that very far we cannot see. So I take a look and never correlate all these things. So then later on, we stand, they ask us to stand in the queue, like a break time. So I stand very near to where this thing is going to possess to the rupang. So when they walk up from the exhibition place, I only hear gong, you know, something like gong. So when the gong, the sound approaching me, I just probably know that I can feel like that, a little bit. I can feel like, you know, the thing. So I started, actually, the tears just came down. And then they process, then some of them, because it's by trade, so they touch. I also gong-gong, they touch also. Then after maybe that day, not really a lot of people, maybe 200-300. They have 2 acres of land. So I was having a chance to go to the front where it's like oven and layer and layer, they lay up, they put in the tray, you know. So I was very near, come out the front row, like behind and see through. Then I see the sort of the chief monk there, he put in the tray like baking cake, layer and layer. So suddenly I just know that I feel like, and I see some people, those queue at the very first time, they put in the crystal and all those things. Last minute only they put into the tray. So I just have the thought that I just want to put in and I like bracelet. So I was thinking, then I surprised myself whether I can, because they have a counter selling all the crystals. So I was thinking whether I can manage to go and buy and put in, because they also putting in already. So I suppressed my idea for I think maybe 1 minute plus. Forget it, like late already. Then somehow or other, as the tray go in, so many tray, layer tray, I finally say, okay, I go and get. And I tell myself, I'll tell the counter people I take first without paying. So I take and I go and choose a bracelet, then take and come back to this. And the monk is putting the last tray. So I was on the second layer, not really so near to him. So I bring down myself and my hand just put in the bracelet. He also didn't see me, he just see a hand coming up. So this is thick and he put in. Then they close the door, they seal. And during this process of somewhere along when they want to close everything, seal, it was drizzling. It drizzled, and then they come up with the umbrella, yellow umbrella, like the king that type, to cover the man who really cover, put cement, and put cement in the drizzle. So they close up. And when I was very near to the front, I cried. Only thing not the luck, but my friend can see I was crying. And that type of feeling, I don't know why. Then that's it, and they seal, and then they put the tower crane, not tower crane, the crane, they bring the rupang there, everything, got in, okay, go home. And then somehow that day when I was home, I got a very very mild feeling. I think it's not ego, but I know I have done something, and it's not a rejoicing deep inside, but I just know that. Somehow I did the last sempat, I managed to put it, and I feel, I don't know, after putting in, there's one time I go to the back lane there, I was also crying there, and somehow I also like, somehow I feel like my cry also related to, this time I feel it's related to up there, I feel, because when I cry, also I think myself that cry, it's not a joyful cry. It's not a joyful cry, I know. It's a little bit sad, but I feel that when I gong the sound, and I come home, I feel like only a recall, it is maybe related to the up there, those things. So I went home and I feel like, actually I was half-heartedly, I already promised
many days ago, and before I go also that day I was half-heartedly dragged myself and so. So I went home, I find luckily I went up, and even though it's different for Anana Kiri where you also could take a lot of things up. So that's it, my sharing. Thank you.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Maybe I just add a bit. You see, what happened is very likely because he recovered from the coming construction error mistake. So at least this one, he can go through without much trouble. But she can still feel that sad feeling, the eerie feeling of the mistake, the tears and all the things. Otherwise, you would have burst out and asked to through there or say. But he knew it's something that where these people are, they still can be. But it's okay because she already asked for forgiveness, she cleared the thing and all those things. But what I need you all to understand is everyone is different when you come to cultivation. For her case, it's okay because she's going through the space. She just cleared that coming thing and she has this interest to attend and all this thing. And like she said, she's glad that finally the trackers have to be attended. Yeah. But most important is you must understand why you go. And when you are there, if you have the cultivation, you will become different. You will be mindful, you will be aware, and you will not be too eager to do more, it's like put the thing in her and say, but there are people at different stages of how to be, they do that, but they feel that this is meritorious and stuff. This is offering and all this thing. You can do it at the initial stage, is that, because I still remember the area. When I started my population, I also do dana, and I also like trying to partake in whatever there is a condition for me to do. Then later on, when there's condition for me to have my own house dana, then there's a condition for me to invite those monks and teachers. So I remember there were at least 6 or 7 occasions when they come to my house. The biggest one is of course Achayantra. He came before his design over. That time the affinity was there very close to him because he taught me a lot and I understand a lot of his sharing and teaching. Then he also came to heal me, you know, I did. And I visited him many occasions at Tina, even in Thailand, Kanchanaburi Temple, and Sunyantaro. I went there 2 or 3 times, at least 3 times. And the Bandanon Velvet Farm, I also went, I think, also 2 or 3 times. And there were other places too. And of course, there were other monks and teachers. So during that time, I also went off. I also do all this. But later on, after I had that time, I realized the nature understands and it just rejoices and doesn't do anything until I think some of the they know. Then there was one occasion, I think I told you before. Shock when I was having a house down there, he invited a lot of monks. He personally invited me. He gave me an important piece of advice. So I promised that I will go. So that day I go. And when I remember, then when I was there, I remember I entered the house. She was full of joy that there was some Kalyanika who attended my father. They said, Brati. So everybody was excited. They all rushed out and everybody wants to
and bring a tray of offering for me to offer to the man. Is it very wholesome that they get from some guy? He said, no, man, it's okay, never mind. You all go ahead, please. Don't be consumed with me. Then Solomon, the host, she knew. You know what she did? She go and take a break. She go and choose the three or four things that she made herself. And she came and push it. That deal you don't mind. And help me out for us. Oh, I said, sorry. He told me I make myself. Oh, then I said, sorry. Then I took the thing and I still open. But there is condition. Oh, and my mission is yours. So you have to understand when you go through cultivation, there are stages of cultivation where your understanding initially is still not even the law hasn't come back. You will still do. You will still rejoice and develop all those awesomeness. But as you develop the understanding, then you will come to a point where you understand this, you listen to this. This is what you have to understand. When you come to an understanding that your Dhamma already there, you have the understanding. What is more important is every action you do, every moment of arising of process, they are pure thoughts without the purpose. Then when you meditate, you can silent without any thought. The true one, you can realize the true one, the silent one. And this one is what they call the wholesomeness and the merits are limitless. And why you still want to run after all these deeper merits? That's what you cannot do already. You only do when there is condition to do. That's why I only rejoice. You ask me to offer. No, I don't. Even another theory, I rejoice. And most of the time, I let the community even offering or whatever. Only one year, they asked me to represent them. And that time was, I think, Ajahn Sumedho was there. Ajahn Sumedho, 40 women from one another chant. That was a big gathering. All that thing happened here, that Katina. Even I think Ajahn Sumedho was with me. A lot of things happened. Then there was one Western monk. I forgot his name. After the thing, we were about to go home. I walking out alone. Then he came in also alone. He saw me, he smiled and he started to me. And he said, oh, brother, you did very well just now. I said, Sangha, Sangha, Sangha. I said, the Sangha was beautiful. Because he knew that I did not only we understand the energy of chakra. So all these things you will come to understand. Then you will not like last time came to make offering and you cannot do it. Unless there is convenient and you do, otherwise you will not do it. But don't after listen to this and try to act like this, please don't. When you are not ready, do what you have to do and so on. But what I want you to understand is ask yourself, what are you doing in the name of understanding the cultivation? Why do you still want to go and buy and offer? And then you can trace back very likely is the merits. Means you still at the stage where you still want to do this merit. It's nothing to do with right or wrong. It's like there is still this subtle intent to do it. I wouldn't call it a dream. A subtle intent, a desire to do good, to develop wholesomeness. So check yourself why you do it. The best is when there is condition to do only do, then you won't be vulnerable. Otherwise, you will end up becoming vulnerable and having conflict.
then you get very unhappy. When you want to offer, somebody cut you off, or somebody take away your toy, then or sometimes they are Katina, you pay one money and they say you have a toy, and that day you're supposed to offer one, you dress very nicely, way and suddenly too many people. They give all the tray away by the time you reach that, and no more your tray open. You become miserable. Then it defeats the purpose, understand? What is important is the intent to offer. You already made the intent, the object offering. And see, who offers not important, you just rejoice. So that there is no negativity, somehow. And the things being. Sometimes there is a strange one. It's not supposed to be you, but when you are there, they will call you on, hey, you got nothing like talk about the master tree. That's what happened in one Pananacha, one Papong, you ask my wife. They all the Thai people, they knew that occasion, they put on the white cloth, everything. Tell me you're there. You're not there. They want to offer. Then they say Malaysian people, well, one group over, you got nothing. But the Thai lady is so good, no? They give to them the one girl, offer, go, offer. A lot of them will offer. That's why when you have parami, conditions just arise. You don't have to create what you desire. May not understand that. So this is the more deeper understanding of cultivation as you go through. Okay, so that's the chance. Sadhu. Okay, that's nice. And the divine. Let us end the whole thing. And we will do the closing puja. Before I do the closing puja, I must not forget to thank Brother Bill and Sister Pamasri for hosting this special first physical birthday concert. Let us rejoice in your wholesome.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Also thank them for the good and sumptuous dinner, the real gathering.